Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. As you heard David talking about yesterday, there was a groundbreaking ceremony for the second half, basically. The phase three out of four phases of the ST Engineering Project Titan was the code name, Project Titan, we called it. When we're talking about this big jobs, build a hangar space program for maintenance, repair, and overhaul of big jets like UPS uses. And yesterday we had a lot of folks in town, about, I don't know, maybe 70-80 people there, something like that. All of your local, you know, politicians, and including people from, for example, the secretary deputy secretary of economic development at the Florida Department of Commerce. Had a chance to talk to him, Jason Mahone. Tell me your name and your position, please.
Jason Mahone. I'm the deputy secretary of economic development at the Florida Department of Commerce.
Very good. Well, Jason, welcome to Pensacola. Good to have you here on this semi-festive day where we're celebrating the grand opening of groundbreaking of Hangar 3 for the ST Engineering Project. Thoughts as you represent the state administration here? What do you think about this project and coming to the farthest west corner of Florida in order to see it?
Well, thanks for having me. You know, it's been a really great day in Pensacola and really, really great for us to see all the partnership here. So from the state, you know, we've been in a position where we have the Governor's Job Growth Grant Fund, and the governor set out a vision of how we can maximize those funds to support projects that have a lot of community engagement. And that's exactly what we saw here today. So, you know, $210 million in total investment here from the city, the county, Triumph, and the Department of Transportation, Department of Commerce. So Department of Commerce, we put in $18 million in that. And so it's just really, really great to see that $18 million turn into 1,700 jobs, you know, these new state-of-the-art hangars. And hopefully I'll get to check out the current hangars as well today.
Hey, talk to me a little bit about the, now the governor obviously inherited this project, as did our mayor. I mean, this is a long-term, 10 years ongoing. But it fits really well with the governor's stated objective of not necessarily diminishing the preeminence of higher education for, you know, career paths, but really trying to raise the appeal of, you know, workforce and non-liberal arts or bachelor's degrees type programs, things that people can really go into straight from college or from an apprenticeship program. This seems right in line with his philosophy in developing those kinds of career paths for Floridians.
Sure. So you hear him say it a lot. You know, the governor will say that college is not for everyone, and we want to have a program that is available for everyone, programs that people can get involved in, even starting in high school. And here, I think what they found and was really visionary is that Florida is one of the leading states in MRO, and our aviation, aerospace, and defense industry is our number two economic driver. So there's a lot of demand for these jobs in MRO and A&P mechanics, and we're really excited for the opportunities that they will bring here in Pensacola.
And better to have them on this side of the state line than the other side, right?
That's right. That's right. We do love to have the opportunities here in Florida, and we really like for people as they, you know, mature and go into the workforce, for them to have a place to stay here in Florida. We don't want them to think that they have to leave to get a good job. We want them to be able to stay right here.
Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, thank you.
So, you know, it's always good to see people from all over the state coming to, you know, note the groundbreaking. And if you're not familiar with the project, you know, this is, I'll try to, in case you just don't remember, or in case this is the first time you're hearing about it, you know, several years ago, like a decade ago, you had this conversation about, you know, could we create a space in which the maintenance, repair, and overhaul of these big planes would take place? ST Aerospace, I still to this day, I don't know which it is and why the difference, but, you know, Singapore Technologies Aerospace, Singapore Technologies Engineering, I don't think it really matters one way or the other, but within which they would, you know, have people to work on these planes. And this would combine funding from the county, from the state, from the, you know, from the city of Pensacola, from Triumph, which is BP oil spill settlement money, you know, the $1.5 billion that we were able to keep in the panhandle out of the $2 billion that came that's supposed to go for economic diversification. And, you know, if you think about the military and tourism, this is something else besides that, you know, working on these airframes and maintaining them is a different kind of technology. And that was the idea, to build resilience to, you know, events that might affect us environmentally or in terms of tourism. And so that's where all this money comes from, $210 million. And then the city owns the hangars, but ST operates within them and works on these planes. And if you're looking at if you're on Langley looking south at the airport, if you look to the west or to your left, you would see now two big buildings that can house a whole bunch of airplanes and work on those planes. And you see the planes coming in and out, you know, sometimes. It takes a long time to work on one of these planes, so it's not like there's a frequency of traffic in and out of them. But now on the right side, on the opposite side of the runway, like across the tarmac, is where you'll see buildings 3, and if it comes to pass, eventually building 4. The mayor talked about yesterday how the, you know, cost of construction has gone up significantly. So there is a difference, or what, you know, the common phraseology we use these days is a delta. Delta being the Greek letter that you use for change, you know, or difference in science. Okay, so that's where that comes from if you're not familiar. Anyway, there's a delta between the funding available, $210 million, and the actual total price tag. Now, there's enough to do phase 3. This third building, there's not enough yet to do phase 4, so we may have to go back to the, you know, the funding board in order to find out whether that fourth one is going to happen. But if the fourth one happens, there will be about 1,700 jobs has been the target all along. And so if you just do the bare bones math, okay, $200 divided by 1,700, what you get ultimately is $123,000 a job, which seems a bit high if you're just sort of considering investment capabilities, because if these jobs are paying, what, $60,000 or $70,000 a year, you know, they're pretty good paying jobs, okay? Even if it's 50, okay? Somewhere, you know, and it's all, there's a lot of variety within that. I actually talked with Bill Hafner from ST about this a little bit yesterday. There's a lot of variety in the range based on experience. But, you know, let's say that they're at 70,000, okay? If you're spending $123,000 to get $70,000, and again, that's assuming the math all holds, and that is the sort of get it all the way there, all four buildings, all the jobs, all filled. Spending 2 times as much as the job cost to create the infrastructure in order to make a job from public money, and, you know, ST put in money too, okay? It's a lot to spend on jobs, because you would think maybe there's a lot of other ways that we could do projects like this with that kind of money. And those are fair questions. You know, those are the sort of challenges that have been raised all along by people who, whether they generally support economic development or not, have raised the particular questions about whether this project entirely makes sense or not. And I think those are fair questions. At this point, we're kind of in for the deal, right? So even if you think that it's inappropriate or overfunded or too expensive per job unit, here we are, and then, you know, it's maybe what do we do the next time if, you know, similar kinds of opportunities come along. Also had a chance yesterday to talk with State Senator Doug Broxson. He was there, of course, and he's been very instrumental in all of this, getting the funding from the state.
So we're here with State Senator Doug Broxson as we are groundbreaking Phase 3 of the Titan project for ST Engineering, the third hangar. Thoughts as you've watched this pretty much the entire time it's been in process from the House and now, of course, from the Senate side?
Well, I think when we first started in 2014, we were dealing with one vendor, and that was ST. But this project is much bigger than ST. This is our gateway to the future of inviting aerospace to come in here, not only to plant and have workers, but to bring in the workforce. And Pensacola State College is going to set up a campus very, very close to the airport where we can invite people from all over the world to say, this is where you want to come and get educated and see how it's done right.
This development of this new workforce training program in the Hangar 1 with Pensacola State College that they're doing, it seems like, I mean, I hate to call something a no-brainer, but it's genuinely a no-brainer to have your trainees learn on the aircraft in the facility that they're going to eventually work on, right?
I think the model that we need to look at in the future is that as companies want to come to Pensacola and they want us to train their work staff, that they bring someone from their home campus to teach us what they want to be taught. And ST is doing that. There's other people that are reaching out to us, say, would you do the same thing for us? So it's a great opportunity to not only grow our community, but to grow it with jobs that will pay enough money that they can live in this inflationary society.
Senator, thank you so much for the time and congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
And you kind of heard it there in his answer that other companies, other potential employers see this and say, well, that is, you know, a lot of money that you might be willing to spend to facilitate the creation of jobs in your area. Us too. And I think we're going to have to learn to ask pretty serious questions about whether that makes sense or not. And sometimes may be yes and sometimes might be no, but, you know, it's not always going to be yes. One of the other issues, and again, I know for some of you this is sort of familiar territory. You've been following the news all along and nothing that I'm telling you is a surprise. And for others of you are like, oh, I didn't even know this project was happening. Okay, well, and somewhere in between for a lot of you. But one of the issues that ST has had, there is no shortage of companies that want to bring their planes here to be serviced. They are not, as Bill Hafner told me, not short of customers, okay? What they are short of is employees. Through a combination of factors, there just aren't enough bodies walking in the front door with job applications who are able to do the work, willing to do the work, and just exist. Even though this promotion for this area has been pretty robust to try to find people. You know, high school graduates, you know, and we'll train you and we'll put you through George Stone or we'll put you through a career academy at Washington High or, we'll, you know, there's all kinds of things that have been done to try to generate the employees. And so the real shortage has been the 1,700 bodies or for the first two projects, the, you know, 800 or 900 bodies of capable people who are interested in doing the work. And, you know, so why hasn't this project progressed more rapidly? Well, part of the reason is because there's no point in building these hangars when there's no people to do the work, even though there's plenty of work to be done. And that has been the challenge. That's why the PSC in-house education program that they're working on getting certified this summer for, you know, actual attendees to start enrolling in the fall, that's going to be inside Hangar 1. That's why that's such a big part of this puzzle is there's no point in doing all of this if you don't have the bare requirements to do the work, which is the people that are capable of doing the work. 523 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you need air conditioning or electrical work done, plumbing, you know, heating. I mean, I know you probably don't have a lot of heating work being done right now, but, you know, at some point you might. Peden, they do all of that stuff. And they've been doing it for a long time. They do it out of Ellison Field here in Pensacola, but they also have locations all across the Panhandle, all the way east to Tallahassee. And in fact, last year they expanded to Baldwin County across the state line. And then just this year they expanded recently over into Mobile County. So they are everywhere all along the central time zone, all along the coast. They are turning 55 this year. And so you can get a couple of deals. One, to celebrate their 55 years in business, Peden is offering a complete AC inspection for $55. Call today and schedule that $55 AC inspection. Also, they have a tanked water heater, flush and plumbing inspection for $55, same price, same age. Call today to remove the sediment buildup, hurting how fast your water heats up. That's something, if you've never had it looked at, you really probably ought to have it looked at, especially if you have an older water heater. So any of that can be arranged or investigated. If you want more information, go to Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of Pensacola State College students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for the summer and fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu. Go here.
We used to argue about whose turn it was to clean the gutters, but then I had Leaf Filter Gutter Protection installed.
Wait, I told you Leaf Filter had free inspections and estimates and a lifetime guarantee.
Meaning we never have to argue about whose turn it is to clean the gutters again.
But I visited leaffilter.com/beacon first.
No, I did.
It doesn't matter who. Visit leaffilter.com/beacon to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household. Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You haven't met anybody you didn't kill?
Well, I haven't killed you yet.
I just don't get enough chance to play straight up David Lee Roth, and so I'm just, you know, taking a moment of privilege here at 527. That's all. Oh yeah. Man. Oh man, what a performer. 527. He's got charisma. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David.
Well, there were no surprises yesterday in the primaries across 5 states. Voters in Iowa, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota all chose Joe Biden and Donald Trump in their respective primaries. And in New Jersey, Congressman Andy Kim beat Senator Bob Menendez for the Democratic Senate nomination.
How embarrassing would it be if you were running against Bob Menendez and you lost?
I don't know how you'd go on in the political
world. You have to question all of your life choices. I can't even beat this guy. What is his status, by the way? He's under indictment. He's charged. He's not been convicted yet, right? Or has he been? I don't think he's been convicted.
He hasn't been convicted. He's up for trial.
He hasn't yet been convicted. Right. Let's put it that way.
In Delaware, Hunter Biden's criminal gun charge trial resumes today. Yesterday, an FBI witness took the stand and talked about how prosecutors obtained evidence from his Hunter Biden's drug use from his laptop. And Andrew, do you remember that video that went viral a while back with the woman who was handcuffed in a police car, got hit by a train?
No. How'd I miss this? All right, but go on.
It was quite a while ago, maybe sometime last year, but two Colorado towns now have reached an $8.5 million settlement in that case. Again, this woman, her name was Urani Rios Gonzalez. She was detained during a traffic stop, handcuffed in the back of a police vehicle. Somehow the officer parked on a train, and then a train came and just hit the back of the car.
There's no somehow I parked on a railroad tracks.
No.
Right?
No.
Have you, David, you've been driving for a few years.
A few, yeah.
Have you ever unintentionally, unbeknownst to you, just happened to park on a railroad track?
No, not yet.
No.
But who knows? Maybe tomorrow.
There's always tomorrow. The train will come out tomorrow, and I'll park right there on the tracks tomorrow. You're waiting for my last part here, aren't you? I can't think of the... On Oakfield. Sorry, I was almost there, and it just didn't work out for me. Sorry.
Oh, man. I was ready for it. We're putting this album out.
Jimmy over here is sort of oscillating between, on the one hand, he knows it's not good and I'm not great. On the other hand, he is a bass player and he's always looking for gigs. So, you know, he's thinking to himself, is there a way I can monetize this for myself? And your answer was?
I have standards.
can we clarify? You have standards in music.
Yeah. I should have clarified that.
Fair enough. So, by the way, have we learned, discerned, do we know the truth about you? Do we know anything?
No.
I'll say it because it might be true. You're leaving the show?
Yeah.
And I want to say it's purely just a matter of scheduling and getting sleep and staying healthy.
Yeah.
With your other jobs that you do.
Yeah.
So.
But you got an email that.
Yeah, allegedly. I've seen one. says,
am I being retired?
You could be being retired today. John Pickens, who is a well-familiar voice, is going to start filling it, taking over the job tomorrow. But, hey, man, thank you. Thank you for the couple of months. It was
Fox
great.
Fox News. I'm CJ Papa. The U.S. Embassy in Lebanon under attack.
It does not appear there was any significant damage or injuries at the U.S. Embassy, which is located north of Lebanon's capital in a Christian suburb. The AP also reports the gun battle lasted 30 minutes and the U.S. security personnel were involved. A source in Beirut tells me at least one of the shooters was on a moped.
Now, Fox's Lucas Thomas in the U.S. Embassy says the attack by the embassy's entrance did not injure any staff members. President Biden arrives in France ahead of tomorrow's 80th anniversary of D-Day. Former President Trump win their respective primaries on Tuesday in a handful of states. And Columbia University will provide safety escorts and take other steps to protect its students. It settles a lawsuit claiming its campus had become unsafe during recent pro-Palestinian protests. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. It is 77 degrees right now and partly cloudy skies this morning. Well, opening arguments have now started in the trial of a Fort Walton Beach woman who's accused of killing her infant son in a botched murder-suicide attempt. That was back in March of 2020 when 35-year-old Maria Barnes and 5-month-old Jackson Barnes were found in a car at the Okaloosa Beach Boardwalk.
The timeline evidence will show you that shortly after she said, "I'm sorry for what I'm about to do," she hit send on a note she began the night before, put a gun to the side of her infant son, and shot him in the back seat of her truck.
Prosecutors say Barnes killed her son, then tried killing herself after her husband had asked for a divorce. Escambia County deputies say a 24-year-old Pensacola man is now in custody, accused of killing his father. According to Channel 3, Jalen Prude was arrested earlier this week on second-degree murder charges. Investigators say on Monday morning, two men arrived at a home on Oak Knoll Lane to install a new air conditioning unit. When they went inside that home, they found the victim in the living room. Deputies say they found two shell casings on the floor, two cars that had been parked at that home on Sunday night. One was found on Corriedale Drive with Prude, while another was at Sanders Beach. Prude is now being held with no bond at the Escambia County Jail. Construction has now begun on the third of the four planned ST Engineering hangars at Pensacola International Airport, part of Project Titan, a massive maintenance, repair, and overhaul complex that's expected to generate close to 2,000 jobs when fully completed.
Our aviation, aerospace, and defense industry is our number two economic driver. So there's a lot of demand for these jobs in MRO and A&P mechanics, and we're really excited for the opportunities that they will bring here in Pensacola.
That is Jason Mahone with the Florida Department of Commerce. Also noteworthy is the partnership between ST Engineering and Pensacola State College, as they're planning to start a joint maintenance technician training academy. They say it's possible. Enrollments could begin as soon as this fall, once that program is certified. 534 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. There will be just a small chance at a stray sprinkle, 20% chance of rain overall today, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Thursday, pop-up showers and thunderstorms with a 60% chance of rain, high on Thursday near 88. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 76 degrees, and just a small rain chance Friday, 30% with a high near 92. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now we have 77 degrees in Pensacola, 79 in Gulf Breeze, 77 in Milton. Your next news at 6. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
We'll be right back. Visit Prim and Proper, the premier destination for unique gifts in Gulf Breeze, specializing in adding that extra touch of thoughtfulness to any occasion with expert engraving services. From elegant monograms to heartfelt messages, they bring visions to life. With a wide selection of gifts for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and more, there's something perfect for everyone. Prim and Proper also excels in corporate, employee, and client gifts that leave lasting impressions. Visit them online at primandproper.com.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 when guests from Florida Power & Light will be on the show discussing programs and resources available to its customers. From recent rate reductions and storm preparedness efforts to tips on how to save energy and other community initiatives, the experts will discuss FPNL's commitment to their customers and our community.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
New tornado warning just in effect now for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
At any time.
Very, very heavy rain here at the radio station. As a matter of fact, I believe our building is even out of power right now.
When you need to know.
So this is the warned area. Now a tornado warning in effect until 2:03.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
When you need to know.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, like we typically do on a Tuesday. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. Let's start with outside of our county, because I know, you know, we had kind of held off talking much about the Okaloosa Deputy Duran, who shot and killed Robert Fortson, the airman in Okaloosa County in this apartment case that it's a terrible tragedy all around, you know. The report has now come out, the IAIA report, for the Okaloosa Sheriff's Office. That's not the FDLE report. So that's not the criminal findings report. But it is the report itself. And, you know, I know you had, you know, kind of waited to say too much about this, which I think is, you know, appropriate respect for fellow sheriff's office and let the process work its way out. But you've obviously seen the body camera video and you have, you know, what do you have to say at this point based on he's been fired for violating policy?
Again, I think that what you'd look at is this is an internal report, and the reason I had held off on commenting about it is because I'm not privy to what the comments that the deputy would have had mm-hmm. or some of the circumstances that they would be. But their internal investigation sounds like revealed pretty much what I feel like. It was inappropriate. I don't feel like it was necessary to fire the weapon in that circumstance. So I would support Sheriff Aiden and the conclusion that their internal came back to, and then his decision to go ahead and terminate the deputy. Now, just because the IA was completed and submitted to the sheriff doesn't mean he has to terminate. So he had to make the decision to go ahead and terminate. Again, as you mentioned, that's the not the criminal aspect of the, right. of the investigation. That is their internal whether policy was violated, sort of thing.
So, and also, it's important for people to understand that a police officer can violate policy and lose his job, but not wind up being subject to a criminal charge because there are things that might be out of tolerance for policy but might not also be crimes, correct?
Yeah, there's typically concurrent investigations. There's a criminal investigation and then there's a not really a civil, but an internal investigation. Mm-hmm. So you're right. You could have one or the other or both. Mm-hmm. And so in this case, I don't know where the criminal investigation is going to go to because I don't know the circumstances of what the state attorney's office will end up doing with that. But I do support, as I mentioned before, Sheriff Aiden's decision based upon what I saw in the video. That I think would be a violation of our policy as well. And so I would support the action that he took.
I assume the key things are that the gun was pointed down and he didn't have time to react to the command stop, go back up, whatever. It was too quick.
Well, yeah, there are. I would give you this. There are shooting simulations that we do all the time, whether mm-hmm. you're in. Rookie school or you're in continuing training. And almost all of them have some sort of a version where an individual has a gun, but they're not pointing the gun at you. And then you have to decide, shoot and don't shoot. We do that training because we don't want you to shoot when you don't have to shoot. We don't when shooting a firearm is not absolutely necessary. In that situation, again, it's Monday morning quarterbacking, but right. That's what we do all the time, and that's why how we train, and that's how we get better.
In the report, you know, the interview with the deputy, he talks extensively about how he felt at the time, felt scared, felt concerned for his life, and he's got a long history in being a cop and also being in the military prior to all of this. And again, as you said, FDLE has not concluded their investigation, nor has Ginger Bowden announced, and certainly she wouldn't until after FDLE, whether charges will be pressed. But did you see a crime committed, in your opinion?
Again, I think I'd hold off on whether I see a crime
okay.
because I haven't read a report. I've seen the reports of the
yep.
the internal investigation. Just because it's an internal violation does not necessarily mean that there's a crime committed. A lot of times a crime needs, well, not a lot of times, every time a crime needs intent.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make a determination whether that individual intended to commit a crime. You can't unintentionally commit a crime. And I think that's what they're going to have to weigh. And I would imagine that decision will take some time still,
you know, right.
the state attorney's office after they get the report from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and not being privy to that report from the FDLE, and not reading word for word the IA. I think it would be bad form for me to comment about that.
So turning now to Escambia County, where we have unfortunately had no lack of things to talk about here in the past week. Let's start with this. The Ring camera that we've all seen where the man sees some neighbors putting, what, branches on his side of the fence, goes out, scolds them, and then, you know, I'm gonna play it for you because it's just, we haven't played it yet on the show, and it is worth at least hearing the incident as it panned out. So this was the shooting preliminary. Jimmy, turn my computer on over there for a second. Okay, here we go.
Being an actual resident.
Oops, sorry, this is not the one. There we go. What's going on there, bro? It's on your side.
It's on him. Spray! Come on. All right, let's go.
There's some scuffling.
All right. You want to hit me? And you got some soft-ass hit?
So he's got a soft hit. He says he's complaining. You know, he's scolding him after he got hit and punched, and he comes back in the house. At which point?
Well, my understanding is that he left that scuffle. And he went into his house. He retreated to his house, mm-hmm. picked up a firearm, and then came outside and shot the 70-something-year-old. I couldn't hear what you were listening
right.
to, so I can't refer to that. But I can tell you that we felt like he did not need to go to his house and get a gun and bring it out to the fight. Again, we talk a lot about reasonableness and whether at the time of drawing the weapon and firing the weapon, if he felt like his life was in danger. He went to get the gun and then brought it back to the fight. And
right.
it's to me, the whole thing is ridiculous. You can't have a conversation that even leads to an argument with a neighbor without escalating into this sort of thing. So,
and it's, you know, I know some people might have the idea, well, you know, if it's on his property, isn't he standing his ground? Well, he ran away and came back. That's not stand your ground. That's yield your ground and return to the ground and escalate the conflict.
You escalate, right. You brought a weapon to a shoving match, basically.
Right.
And no, that's not cool.
When you were completely separated from it for a time.
You had an opportunity. You could have walked away.
You could have stayed in
your gun.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have stayed in your home.
Right.
And not picked up the gun and brought it back out. So that's our scenario.
We're talking to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. We had a shooting on Montclair, and you're looking for a 16-year-old woman just for questioning. Is that right?
Well, the shooting involved, the victim was a 16-year-old female, and we're looking for
okay.
two people actually for questioning. Let me get their names here real quick. We're looking for, here we go. Michael Sean Fulater, Fulater, and also Glenn Allen Janes, the third. Both of their pictures are on our social media platform, our Facebook page. You can take a look at them. We are looking for them in connection to this homicide, this 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, and they're wanted only for questioning in this particular case, but this is, you know, 16-year-olds shooting at each other. It's pretty concerning on Montclair Road, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely concerning. I wanted one more name also. We're looking for three people. All right, so we're looking for Michael Fulater, looking for Zane Cole Cook, and we're looking for Glenn Allen James, as I just mentioned. So we believe that they have information that, regarding this homicide, either they were there or they have information. So if you know where we can find these three individuals, please give us a call. We do consider, I wouldn't approach them yourself. We ask that you would contact us and let us do the approaching for you. Again, I want to mention their names again. They're pitchers. They look like all three young white males, Glenn Janes, Zane Cook, and Michael Fuller. If you know them, please tell them to contact us. And if you know where they are, please contact us because we want to have a word.
Yeah. In the category of traffic stop leads to all kinds of things, you had a traffic stop that led to methamphetamines, ammunition, a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah, I believe this is one where she didn't have a tag on the car, and she's running around. This is she being 35-year-old Ashley Carter, who happens to be a convicted felon, riding around the area of 9 Mile in Bridalwood. We found 115 grams of meth, 31 grams of fentanyl, some ammunition, some drug paraphernalia, and we ended up charging her with trafficking in the methamphetamine and trafficking in fentanyl and all this other sort of stuff that's associated with driving with a bunch of bad stuff.
And driving around without a tag, and so...
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure why you'd run rather tag anyway, and especially not while you've got trafficking amounts of methamphetamine and fentanyl. So she went to jail, she took the ride, and hopefully she stays here for a little while.
I think it's a conversation we might have had with Mike Wood last week about how, you know, you would think if you were engaged in criminal activity, you would sort of drive the speed limit, stop at the stop sign, and have a tag. But we're glad they don't.
Well, I thank God every day for stupid criminals and giving themselves up, basically.
I thought it was interesting. She did not have an actual firearm, but possession of ammunition is a violation, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, and I don't think her thought processes were the best.
I gotcha.
Again, so.
We also, and this is just, again, in the horrible things you all have to deal with, there was a domestic violence homicide yesterday, not of, like, you think tend to think of this as in, you know, man and wife kind of thing, but this is pretty bad, right?
Yeah, a son, we ended up arresting a son for the murder of his father. This happened, we had a busy day yesterday, but this happened probably overnight Sunday. An air conditioning crew, they were scheduled to go to the house. They went to the house. The door was ajar. They went inside and found a male deceased from gunshot wounds. Gave us a call. Our investigators, again, doing a jam-up job. Backtracked, did some obviously investigating research, and discovered that the son committed the crime, ended up charging him with a homicide.
Do you know ages on the victim or the...
I believe the victim was in his 50s, and the suspect is in his 20s.
Young 20s.
Yeah, I had that with me.
And do we know anything else about motive or?
Well, it looks like the motive looks like money. Again, it's going to be associated with the failure to give him enough money.
And did you say a location or a rough vicinity? I don't.
I think it was on the west side. I don't have the address with me.
All right,
right now it's on the west side. Oak Knoll, I believe, is the name of the road.
And one of the things that had come up, it was kind of in the news right after we talked last week, but the installation of new cameras on the boardwalk out on Pensacola Beach, something that I guess your office is either doing or redoing or something.
Yeah, we're all of that. We're okay. we did the real-time crime center about 8 months ago. We went up on that. And the thought there is that we would integrate all the outside cameras in public space into our real-time crime center. And as I started looking around at different locations where we could get cameras, I'm also looking for different funding sources as well,
sure,
because we don't have the budget for all this. And we think that this is a game changer. This technology is a game changer for law enforcement. We use this real-time crime center every single event, every major crime that we have, including the ones that we had yesterday, including the murder on Montclair. So when I looked at it, I thought, you know, if we could get a couple more cameras on Pensacola Beach, we could have basically the whole public area of Pensacola Beach covered. And while there's very few crimes reported on Pensacola Beach, we want to keep it that way.
Right.
Pensacola Beach is a jewel for Escambia County.
It had been a problem a few years back with the frays and drinking.
Right.
And
the parking lots. And people were acting a fool there for a couple years ago. And I thought, why don't we just get these cameras? And we approached the Island Authority, had a meeting with them, a very good meeting, and they said, you know what, we'll help you. Let's start with the boardwalk area, and then maybe we'll talk about the Casino Beach area secondarily. I said, okay. So we decided that they would help fund 7 locations with 28 total cameras on the entire area of the boardwalk. Now, we've already installed cameras on our precinct, which is in one end of the Casino Beach parking lot. And there are other cameras out in there, but we wanted to upgrade all these cameras and make sure that we have a coverage of the entire area in Pensacola Beach. And my thought is, if you're not committing a crime, why are you worried about cameras in the parking lot? In fact, if I'm going to drive a car, I want you to have cameras so no one breaks into my car. And again, if you're coming to Pensacola Beach and you're going to, you know, vacation here, and you're aware of the proactive nature of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office,
yeah,
and the Island Authority and those with money, I think that it's a good thing.
I personally, when I pull into a store, I think about it. You know, if I pull into a store and I got to park my car, especially if it's at night, I always think, hey, do they have cameras? Great. If they don't, dang it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're a little more
because I know that the thieves are going to pay attention to that, and you know, at least there's some level of either deterrence or apprehendability on the back end if there's cameras around. So you know, I'm a fan generally.
Well, you walk into a bank, you know you're going to be on camera.
Right.
You walk into a store, you know right. you're going to be on some sort of camera. You could go visit a big city like New York City. They have cameras everywhere.
Right.
And all big cities have these cameras. And I think that we're just now, we're kind of behind the times, but we're really making a lot of ground up with regards to what we're doing with our technology and our real-time crime center.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, somebody had brought it up to me after the show yet last week, had asked, do you train people in firearms? Because we had talked quite a bit about that. And the answer is yes. And the first class already sold out first day yesterday.
Well, we got a state grant. There was money appropriated through the legislature last year that to allow sheriff's office to put on, I think it's associated whenever they did this constitutional carry, legislation. And we took advantage of that, and we had our first one. We're having it on June the 15th. However, it did fill up a space as limited as you can imagine mm-hmm. to our range. So it's already filled up, but we will have at least one more, maybe two more these coming up. Depends on,
on the funding.
We should have the funding for one or two more.
Oh, okay.
But it depends on how much capacity we can fill up. And this first one is the first one that we've done in many years. But yeah, our thought is that we could help people and let you know train them a little bit about the knowledge about the weapons that they have.
Very good. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thanks for, you know, when you're busy, it's, you know, we wish you didn't have to be, but we're glad that you are and that your folks do such a good job investigating to resolve these crimes and prevent them, and for the time and the information this morning, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Always. 552 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you've been thinking about that next vehicle or trying not to think about that next vehicle, because I don't know, if you're like me, you don't like buying a car and you put off the decision as long as you can because you tend to put off the things that you don't really want to do and you don't really want to have to go through the process of looking at a car and deciding what you can afford and, you know, the negotiation and all that. Well, Frontier knows this. Frontier Motors knows that nobody likes buying a car and they want to make the process as easy as possible. I know what we went through when we bought a car from them a couple of years ago is we were just going to look at a car in order to make sure it was the one we were going to want in 6 months when we really did have to replace the minivan we were driving. And we found exactly what we wanted at a great price. I mean, they came down on the price and didn't pressure us in any way. Like, you know, hey, can you give us a day? Sure. Can you come down a little more? Sure. Can we buy the car? I mean, it was like that easy. And great follow-up after the fact, things we did not expect them to do that were fantastic. So my personal experience, and confirm this with many, many other people, including most of the people who work here have bought cars from Frontier because they do such a great job of providing an outstanding choice of cars, trucks, vans, whatever, of, you know, moderately used, 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition, good prices. And they just, like I said, they make it easy and they stand by their products because they don't want to sell you a car. They want to sell you all the cars you're going to buy for the rest of your life, which is kind of how I plan to do things. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be talking about Father's Day, Beer Fest, dinner with strings attached, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time.
talk about healthy child development, connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, preventchildabusefl.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I just hear that name and I shudder.
Mufasa.
Ooh. Do it again.
Mufasa.
Ooh. Mufasa. Ooh. Mufasa. Mufasa. Ooh, it tingles me.
My heart's in overdrive. It's great to be alive. Who's John? She said, and smiled in her special way. John, she said, you know I love you.
Good morning, 5:56 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Happy Wednesday. It's probably a byproduct of the fact that Winnie the Pooh is one of my favorite movies, hers particularly, and because we have three boys. But I can never say Happy Wednesday without also wanting to say Happy Wednesday, Eeyore. Just can't do it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, President Biden has signed an executive order that will prohibit migrants who cross the U.S.-Mexico border illegally from applying for asylum once the number of daily encounters tops 2,500 between official ports of entry. The White House says that'll make it easier for immigration officers to remove people who shouldn't be in the U.S. A professional rock climber has been sentenced to life in prison for sexually assaulting a woman at Yosemite National Park. Charles Barrett, he's now 40, committed those crimes while living and working in the park in the summer of 2016. And Andrew, it's been more than a month now since New Jersey Congressman Donald Payne Jr. suffered a fatal heart attack. But that didn't stop him yesterday. He won his party's primary for re-election. Payne died after the deadline had passed to remove his name from the ballot.
Okay, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:57 on News Radio Pensacola. You can get porn on Twitter now, or X. Day we were all looking for. You know what's weird? I don't use Twitter much, don't use it, but I'm pretty sure that there has been before. Pretty sure. And I guess the new policy, the affirmation of the old policy, is as long as it's consensual and as long as it's not... I don't know what. Anyway, but somebody raised a question about this. If that's true, then does that mean that in Florida, you have to do age verification for Twitter? Right? I mean, just, you know, we didn't pass that law. So, that's a good question. You know, it's a good question. Meanwhile, in California, remember they raised the minimum wage to $153 an hour? Well, I mean... maybe not quite that high, but, you know, numbers are just numbers when you're making them up by government fiat, right? So they raised the minimum wage to an outrage. What is it? 25, I think. It's some crazy number. Is it 20 or is it 25? I can't remember. It doesn't. Anyway, it's California. Who cares? But we had all these restaurants saying that they were going to change their business or go out of business or whatever. You know, remember all the pizza companies are getting rid of their delivery services. They're just going to make you show up to get your own pizza. $20, by the way. You now have the LA Times reporting that the chain Rubio's, unrelated to our senator, Rubio's Coastal Grill is now closing 48 of its restaurants in the state, one-third of their entire locations. So it's going great. It's going great. It's really working well. All of the poor folks are making out like bandits and enjoying all of that government-sponsored wealth and prosperity that comes from jacking up the minimum wage artificially.
You're listening to... News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.